So, this morning, my name is Paul, by the way, and I'm a member of the Pastors Council here at Sunnyside, and I've had the privilege of being able to work with our staff team over the last number of months in our interim. And this morning, I have a great privilege. I get to be able to share the preaching time this morning with Pastor Abe, who is our pastor in charge of community and family. Thank you. All right, I knew I would get that wrong. But it's a great privilege for me to be able to know that I'm going to be sharing the time with him this morning as we continue the series that we've got here on discipleship. And you've had the opportunity to be able to hear from both Jesse and from Nate at different times, the two other members of our pastoral staff. And so this morning, Abe's going to be coming up and sharing some of this time with me. And it's exciting for me because I've had a great opportunity to be able to join with him and to be able to share in the development of where we're going here this morning. And that is always fun for me to be able to do that with somebody else, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be sharing with you here this morning as well. Let me just help you recap a little bit here in terms of what is discipleship? What is it that we're taking a look at? Why this series? And the reason for this series is because discipleship was so important to Jesus. And discipleship is something as well that we want to see become a real part of the DNA here at Sunnyside. And so being a disciple is very, very simple. It literally means becoming a learner of someone. That's what disciple means in the Greek. It means becoming a learner of someone. So when we talk about it in our context, it is Jesus saying, I want you to become learners of me. That's what I want. And so remember, too, as we look at this and as we go through this series, the reason we're going to be taking snapshots look at different aspects of discipleship in the Gospels and stuff is because of the fact that Jesus wanted you to become a learner of himself, not a learner of religion, not a learner of tradition. And unfortunately, that is sometimes what we have made discipleship, especially in our current church subculture. We have turned it into something where we're trying to teach you these are the things we believe. And while it is a part of that, the greater component of the core of it is this. Am I pointing you to Jesus and trusting this, that through the power of his Spirit, he's going to be at work in your life helping you to become a learner of him because your story is unique. And there's no other story like it. And therefore, your opportunity to be able to realize that Jesus doesn't just have a cookie-cutter approach to each one of us so that we all start looking the same. But rather, it is that you and I can appreciate the fact he wants to enter into our story and breathe life into that story and help us to become everything we're intended to be. So, how important is this? First of all, it's learning how important the relationship is to Jesus. It's all about relationship with him. It is all about him knowing that he can connect with you and you can connect with him. It is him trusting and believing the truth of what he said when he told us. He said, my sheep know my voice. In other words, he wants to talk to us. He wants us to recognize the personal element. It is becoming learners of his heart, his love, his care, his compassion, his faithfulness, his grace, his forgiveness. And how that applies individually to you in your moments where you need it most. It is being able to appreciate what it means to honestly become a learner of Jesus because he desperately, desperately, desperately wants that to be the uniqueness of the relationship that you have with him. So, right now, I've got the privilege of being able to ask Abe to come on up here. And I'm going to turn over this time to him, and then I will come back up afterwards. But Abe, come on, brother. Let's remember, too, this is his first time speaking at Sunnyside. Do you think you're going to feel a little bit nervous doing something like that? Yeah? Is this a safe place? Is this a safe place for him to preach? Oh, let's affirm that a little bit more, okay? I'm a football coach. That would just never work. All right? Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Hello.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay. Probably that's better. Excellent. Okay. A little bit warm up here. So I used to have a stone face when I stand here. The reason is I've got a smile. And that guy over there always telling me, hey, Abe, your biggest problem is not your accent. Your biggest problem, you don't smile when you stand here. And actually, when I prepared today's sermon, I even prepared a joke. And actually, the joke was borrowing from Russell Peters, a Canadian comedian. But later on this morning, I was thinking, should I share the joke or not? But later on, I found, well, that's not really Abe. So let's Abe be Abe. So I probably will not share the joke publicly. But you can ask me in person. So I'm willing to share that. Okay, the warm-up is over. And for today, my sermon have three parts. And because I didn't prepare the PowerPoint, so for members, easy to follow my thought, I'm going to tell you the outline. The first part is the main theme. And the second part will have two biblical exams and to illustrate the theme. And the third part will be conclusion. And if we have a bonus time, I will give a little bit of personal experience. So that's the flow of my sermon today. So the theme is, like Paul mentioned, we're going to talk about discipleship. And the discipleship, the principle of discipleship is universe, is universal. So this is one of my theme. And the second part of the theme is, even though the principle of a discipleship is universal, however, everybody's process is different. So the next question derived from my theme is, what is the universal principle? The universal principle is, from a believer to a Christ-like disciple is a process. That's my theme. And so in other words, from where you are at the beginning point to the end point, to be like a Christ, the disciple, there is a long process. And everyone, every Christian have their unique process. We can see other people's process as a reference, but we will never able to copy that person, say, oh, I'm going to do the same process. No, the Lord leads each individual in different way. So as we're speaking, and the first example is, what do you mean by a process? What does a process mean? Simply, the process means we have, if we're doing something, we have a starting point and we have an ending point. And let's see one of the illustration from today's message. Today's message from Book of John, chapter 1. When the John and other disciples ask Jesus, hey, where are you living? And the Lord Jesus say, come and see. What does a come and see really means? In the beginning, when I was just become Christian, that was, come and see doesn't mean a lot to me. Until one of my mentor, unfortunately, he passed away many years ago. He said, if you really want to know what people have, or even you want to know what they really are, wait until they move out. When you help them move out of their home, you will come and see everything you have, they have. So similarly, when Jesus say, come and see where I stay, that means he opened up himself to let the future disciples to see him and even investigate him. So as a disciple, this is our Lord, set example to us. As a disciple, we shall do the same thing. We should be completely honest and completely open up to our Lord. However, many of us including myself, we are not there yet. So the beginning of the process is where we are here right now. Maybe we only open 10%, 20%, maybe up to 80% of your life. And the final product, like Christ, the example of Christ, we will open completely 100% to our Lord without any hiding. That's the process I'm talking about. Then I have a second example talking about the encouragement from a real person, a real disciple in the Bible, from where he was after decades of a process, become Christ-like disciple. I'm talking about the person who is the author of the book of John, the Apostle John. So I think if anybody read Bible, like a book of John, or 1 John, 2 John, or 3 John, the letters, you will see, wow, this guy, no wonder people call the Apostle of Love, because he talked about love so much. But if we read the four gospels closely, in the Mark, book of Mark, is a record like this. So James and John, they are son of thunder. They are not so lovely back then. Why? When you turn the book to book of Luke, and you will see, once upon a time, Jesus trying to go to a Samaritan village, and the Samaritan thought, you are going to Jerusalem. Sorry, no, go away. You're not welcome here. And then John was so furious, says, Lord, should I call upon fire down there and burn them up? And let me translate it to today's language. It's like a pastor calling you, hey, Paul, can I visit your home? And Paul said, no, I don't like you. Please, no, don't visit me. Then I feel so angry. I said, Lord, shall I call the fire, burn him up? So that kind of similar thing. I mean, just the same thing. And that was John. That was Apostle John in the beginning. It was not so lovely, but after decades of process in Jesus Christ, in the Lord's hands, what he become. Let me quote some of his writing. In 1 John, says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The second, he says, whoever does not love, not know God, because God is love. Then he wrote, we love because he first loved us. And then he wrote, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. One more. So he wrote, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. You can see, finally, when John, towards the end of his life, towards to the end of the process, how Christ-like person he became. The process is long. And we can use his life, we can use his process as a reference to all of us. That's the destination we're going. Wherever we are, and that's the destination we're going. In the between, there's a long process. As long as we're in Lord's hand, the process will be good. So in conclusion, there are two points I'd like to conclude. First, from a Christian, from a believer to a Christ-like disciple is a process. And each one of us, our process is unique. And okay, just one more minute, very short. Sure. okay, very short personal sharing. Part of my process is through Noah, my older son. He has a severe autism. So through him, and I learned how to be compassionate and be patient. And anybody, if you have the experience with autism kids, usually you find even very simple instruction you need to tell that person over and over and over and over. So for instance, we always teach Noah, Noah, when we call your name, just to say yes, mom, or yes, dad, or just to say, uh-huh, yes, that's simple, right? Simple enough. But my wife and I, even such simple instruction, every day, daily, we have to tell him at least 10 times, Noah, when we call you, give us a response. Otherwise, we don't know you're listening or not. And sometimes it drives you crazy because, man, that's so simple. Why don't you remember? Why don't you listen? And through that, this is my process. Through the part of my process, I learned to be patient. And I even learned, well, stand from his perspective. He tried really hard. Sometimes he just pull his hair and says, Mommy, Daddy, I can't remember. I cannot remember regardless how many times you tell me. I try to stand from his perspective. Then the compassion, come out. I see, well, there are some people born with a disadvantage. And as many Sunnysiders, when I listen to your story, when you sharing with me, I know many people are struggling this or that. So let's, for me, one of the processes is to become more compassionate. Thank you. And now I'm going to turn the time to Paul.
That was good. Rest easy. I've only got another 25 minutes to go. So, becoming a learner of Jesus, there are two key points that I want you to be able to appreciate as he comes into our story in a personal way. And please remember, your story is unique. Just as Abe has shared about his story and how Jesus has come into his life and not only begun a discipleship, a learner of Jesus, but also in that, stepping into the moments where he needs to be able to learn things that Jesus realizes this is unique to you. And because I've given you Noah, I'm going to teach you these things. And as a result, though, too, isn't it amazing how he shares? That becomes a blessing to all of us as well. And we're so thankful for that. Becoming a learner of Jesus recognizes two key points. And that, first of all, is letting ourselves become immersed in Jesus' story. The words of Andrew to Jesus, where are you staying? Come, you'll see. In other words, he invites us in. He's willing to be explored. He's willing to be examined. He's willing to be looked at. He's willing to be able to put to the test to see, are you indeed the truth? Are you? Are you indeed who you say you are? And Jesus says, come, come and see, come and examine it. He welcomes us into his story with openness and with complete transparency. And the second thing, though, is it's letting Jesus become involved in our story. And believe it or not, he's never going to kick the door down. He's never going to force himself into a room. He's never going to force himself into moments of your story. But he waits patiently, filled with love, filled with grace, filled with compassion, sometimes filled with tears, just waiting for you and me to be able to say, come into this moment. I need you in this moment. I need to see you in this moment. I invite you in with all that you are to make a difference in this part of my story. It is being our willingness to be able to see that take place. Final point I want to make with you here is this. Being a pastor, which I am and I have been for over 40 years, in that,
does not make me more of a disciple than anybody else, more of a learner of Jesus than anyone else. We have a tendency within our church subculture to elevate people in full-time ministry roles. And the honest truth is, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. In that, we are here to serve. We're here to be able to help lead. We're here to be able to help initiate. We're here to help be catalysts. But the honest truth is, as a pastor, I'm no more of a learner of Jesus than you are. I have not arrived. I want to give you one clear example of that from the book of Matthew. I know it wasn't part of our reading this morning, but I want to give you one clear example. It says that Jesus is coming along and he sees this guy named Matthew who's sitting at a table collecting taxes. And Matthew was a tax collector. He was Jewish and he was shunned not only by the Jewish people, but even the Romans didn't appreciate him because he was Jewish, but he was performing a task for them, collecting taxes. He was considered probably one of the worst of the sinners. In that even if you were a prostitute, you were probably on the same level as a tax collector who collected money for the Roman government. He was really not liked. Yet Jesus comes along that day. There obviously were previous interactions with him, but he looks at Matthew that day doing his job, and he says to him, "Follow me." And it says Matthew got up, left his table, and followed Jesus. Pretty remarkable story, isn't it? And you get that with Peter and Andrew, and you get that with James and John, they're fishermen, and all of a sudden Jesus says, "Follow me," and it says they left everything and they followed him. And sometimes we mistake the I concept then that discipleship means, Jesus, you're going to ask me to leave what it is that I'm currently doing, or my vocation, or my profession, or things I've trained for. Sometimes, yes, but the honest truth is that's rare. That's rare. He wants to work with you in what it is that you're doing. Are you a homemaker? He wants to be involved in that part of your story. Are you a professional sometimes? He wants to be involved. Are you serving? He wants to be involved. And let me give you an example of that. A guy named Zacchaeus in the book of Luke, in that one day it says he wanted to see Jesus, and being short, and that maybe being a member of the little people. And that it says he climbed a tree to be able to see Jesus as he came along the street. And all of a sudden it says Jesus stops under the tree, looks up in it, and says, "Zacchaeus, I'm having supper at your house tonight. Come on down." And Zacchaeus, it says, comes down, can't believe this, because Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. I mean, you talk about a position that was even hot. Matthew reported to him. And now all of a sudden he says to him, "Come, follow me." You know, when he's at his house and they're eating dinner together. And Zacchaeus gets up and says, "Right now I give half of everything I have to the poor." And he says, "And if I've wronged anybody, I'll give them 4 times the amount back." Pretty amazing. But we miss a point if that's where we stop in the story. Jesus never said, "Stop being a chief tax collector. That's a scumbag job. And that this is a horrible thing that you're doing." I mean, do you realize that you are representing the Roman government and everything that you. He never asks him to leave his job. Matthew, follow me. Zacchaeus, follow me. But both different. Both treated differently. Do you realize how unique your story is to Jesus? And by the way, let me share this with you, because I've shared it with youth and young adults over the years, and I think it's just a fun part of the story. And that Matthew gets up from the table, starts following Jesus, and Jesus, I can see him and Jesus having a conversation. It's not recorded for us, but I'm presuming this, okay? If you get my translation of the Bible later called the Racine Revised, that might be in there. But here's the story as I think it would have transpired. Matthew and Jesus are walking along, and Matthew's going, "Okay, Jesus, where are we going? Are we going to the synagogue? Are you going to do some teaching? Show me how to be a teacher? Are you going to go someplace? Are you going to heal somebody? Do you want to spend some time in prayer together? I'd love to learn prayer from you, Jesus. That would be amazing. That would be really something. Are we going to do some evangelism together? Oh, Lord, I'd love to learn evangelism from you. That'd be great, too. Matthew, we're going to your house." "Okay, we're going to my house. That's okay. Not a problem." And that, "We're going to have a party at your house. Matter of fact, the Greek word is a banquet." "Okay, all right. Who do you want to invite? I'm sure you have a lot of friends that you'd love to hang out with Jesus, and I'd be glad to host a party for you and your friends. We're going to invite your friends." And I'm sure there was silence. And Matthew's suddenly stopping and thinking to himself, "My friends? Jesus, my friends are tax collectors. They're considered the outcasts. This is, are you sure you want my friends at this party, Jesus?" "Yes, I want your friends there. I want to be a part of your story. I want to be able to be a part of your story that breathes life and love and grace and compassion and forgiveness into your story. Matthew, I want to party with your friends. As a matter of fact, the greatest criticism of Jesus was he hung out with people who were broken, people who were sinners, people who were considered outcasts. And Jesus' response, they need me more, and they know it. Becoming a learner of Jesus, can we open our hearts and our lives to that in order to be able to say to him, I want you to be able to come into my story. I want to be immersed in yours, because the honest truth is, I want to see what my story would really look like with you fully in it.